man. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, it states, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, she translates that to mean, in the only. In other words, the only creation there is this creation in which God is the source. But there never was a beginning in time because it always was. Truth always is true. God always is the source. And the only thing that one experiences is a revelation of what was already true. There are several verses whereby various things came about, and in each case, it ends with saying that God saw that it was good. Good is the opposite of a so-called evil. Spirit is defined as being the only substance. And spirit, of course, is defined as being flawless, transparent, and therefore includes the quality of reflection. So this goodness, being the opposite of a so-called evil, is also the opposite of so-called matter. All substance is spirit, and spirit is the opposite of matter, or the theory that there is a matter that exists. Spirit is the fact. All existence is of the substance of spirit, and therefore matter cannot have any existence whatsoever. It is only a theory that has no foundation. So all of these paragraphs in Genesis 1 that states that God saw that it was good, and keep in mind that Mary Baker Eddy states that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing. So God is the only one that can see because there is nothing but God. So all functionality, all facility of anything at all is God doing it. There is no functionality unless it is God being the function. And the only thing God could be the function of would be something that is flawless and perfect, because the only substance is spirit. So after Genesis 1 states all these various things that were made, by the way, it also says let. Each one of these significant sentences, verses in Genesis 1, comes with the word let. The viewer or observer needs to take off the blinders, to be able to see with God's eyes. We must let God do the seeing. We must let our consciousness permit the admittance of the goodness that is always in existence. There is no possibility of there being an opposite to goodness, because the record of existence is in Genesis, and everything it states, it is clear that it is good. The only existence is good. No flaws, only purity. So after all these various things where it indicates that God revealed all existence, the last thing is man. So after everything is already in place, in recognition, where it's been accepted, then we can accept the fact that man is made in the image of God. But we have to let it happen. We have to accept it. We have to name it. We have to recognize it. Mary Baker Eddy states that there are three steps to reality. One is you have to name it. So in other words, we have to recognize its true identity. The second of all is we have to claim it. Claim it as being the reality. Claiming that as our only existence, as being included in it. And the third thing she says that needs to be done is to demonstrate it. So we name it. We claim it. And we demonstrate it. Not a single one of those three things can be missing if we want to experience reality. If we're going to think that man is defective in any way, then we have to say that God is defective. Because God is the source. Again, we must keep in mind that the image has to be included in the source. Otherwise, there is no source. A source has to be a source of something. It has to be a source of its own manifestation. The manifestation has to be the manifestation of the source. Therefore, it's easy to see that God requires man in order for God to exist. Because man is God's manifestation. If there is no manifestation, there is no God. And a manifestation could not be different than its source, other than in quantity. It cannot be different in quality. The only caveat to that is that things that have to do with exclusivity, and this is really quantity, that belongs strictly to the source. So, for example, where Mary Baker Eddy describes God as being incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, man reflects those qualities, but man is not in quantity any of those. For example, man is never referred to as being divine, but we reflect divine qualities. Supreme. Supreme means that that is the ultimate authority. Well, the only thing man can do is reflect the purity that there is only one source, and therefore there's no competition for the source of man. There's only one authority, and that's God. And infinite, the same way. That really is again related to quantity. And of course, infinite is really beyond being able to describe it as any quantity, for it is without limit, which means quantity is not even an effective term to use. For the infinite doesn't have a word that describes its infinitude, because it's beyond description. It's ever expanding as our view expands. We see more and more of the infinite nature of God. Man, therefore, has a boundless opportunity to reflect as much of God as we are ready, willing, and able to put self aside, impersonalize everything in our experience so that we can see more clearly with God's eyes what reality is. That may sound easy, but one is faced with what Mary Baker Eddy describes as lie upon lie, which has been compounded throughout the history of mankind. Not the history of God's idea, for God's idea is immune to anything outside of God. The second chapter of Genesis indicates that a mist went up. There's a lot of mist sprinkled throughout the Bible. Psalms 103, for example, flips back and forth between a so-called relative term and absolute terms. It is not the pure word, but it is a mixture flipping back and forth, saying that man is reflecting the goodness of God, and maybe following that immediately, it talks about man having problems. We need to go back to this three-step process where we have to name reality. We have to claim it as being the reality. And of course, we're talking perfection. That's what reality is. The perfect manifestation of God. And then we have to prove it ourselves. We have to experience it. Jesus could not do the work for the disciples that they must do themselves. The same with everyone right now. There's a common belief that God saved everyone from sin if they will repent and claim Him as their Savior or even their God. Jesus is not God, and God doesn't do our work for us. God's principle is there, and we can align ourselves with it to the degree that we are willing to give up the belief of personalizing anything or anyone. Any event, any relationship, we have to neutralize the belief that person is involved. And we have to focus on individuality, which is really the unique reflecting of characteristics of God. Qualities. Not theory. Reality. Not matter or mortal mind or lie upon lie. Mary Baker Eddy states in prayer that God is already the only intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Therefore, He is not going to listen to anything but Himself or itself. Pleading to God, trying to give Him information that we think He does not have, is futile. God is all-knowing, all-intelligence, the only source. Our effort needs to be directed to recognizing what is already true. Not trying to bring forth a new truth to educate God. Are we already grateful for the blessings that have been bestowed upon us? In studying about supply and demand, it is clearly stated that supply is a product of gratitude. Because we are expanding our thought to be able to see more in our experience when we recognize what is already in existence. If we're too blind to see the blessings that are already surrounding us and permeating every phase of our life, then we're too blind to be ready to accept a greater blessing. The blessings we receive are in proportion to our willingness to recognize them. We can't be recognizing an expanded view of God's goodness if we're encumbered with focusing on criticizing what we think is less than what we need. Instead of criticizing what we think we have as being too small, we need to expand our vision and be grateful for what is obvious. Are we grateful for life? Are we grateful for truth? How about love? No matter how alone one may feel, if they search, they will find that love is all around them. It's providing, it's preserving. Everything is mental. What is our thought? Because our thought projects to become our life. Dr. Fluno states that criticism is the worst thing that you can get into your thoughts. Frederick Rawson states that our thoughts become our experience. Mary Baker Eddy stated that in her early classes in the 1880s. Philosophers for hundreds of years have stated that what we see is what we're thinking. We see what we are thinking. We see our own thoughts objectified. What thoughts do we want to have? What experience do we want to have? This is beyond positive thinking from a material sense standpoint, where it's self-will that is trying to create an experience. What is being referred to in this recording is the divine fact that God is the one in control. Perfection is there. Wherever we are thinking, perfection is there. because it's all within our own consciousness. Our consciousness provides the object. If we invest our effort into cultivating what God is, then we are not permitting any space in consciousness to be cluttered up with what God is not. It does not matter what the topic is, or whom ever the topic might be about. If it is not individualizing qualities, then it's a waste of time. Because any personalizing of anything is absolutely contrary to truth. It's contrary to the one and only all-intelligent, all-knowing, all-wise, infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme mind. The one mind is the only source of any accurate information. Therefore, the cultivation of our consciousness, cultivating it with the nutrients of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love will bring forth a harvest that is beyond measure. However, we must let the tares and wheat grow together until our thought is purified enough so that we have dispersed the tares, dissolved them. You can't be forcing the petals off of a blossom of a beautiful flower. It must unfold naturally, which it will do as we cultivate our thought in the right direction. Nothing can stop truth from being revealed. Sooner or later, it will be revealed depending on the readiness of the participant. Time is not an element in progress. What is the element is whether one is prepared to set aside and replace, because the truth has been revealed to them, they have been inspired through their cultivation of their thoughts, to walk over the bridge. Noah rose above the sense of a matter life. The ark was a symbol of being lifted above the morass of evil. Are we letting a creative thought come forth? That's what mind will do. It will reveal a creative thought. For it is the source of all creativity. And if we combine that creative thought with intelligent, wise, and knowing recognition, we are then prepared to let the action of God be applied to it, which will create performance, or rather reveal to us the performance. And performance is then measured as power. Mary Baker Eddy states that the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. And the way we do good is by seeing the creative opportunity, coupling that with the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of the omniscient mind, and the action of mind, and with all of those ingredients blending with each other through the plan and design of love, which is the oil of gladness. Are we grateful for each step that is revealed to us? If so, these elements all blend together in one harmonious fashion and produce the good. Soul enables us to identify the good. Soul doesn't create good. It is the facility to identify the good that is produced by mind. Spirit is the substance that enables the goodness to be pure, flawless, transparent, and reflective, which then gives us the opportunity to reflect this out. This goodness must be reflected out, sharing with all receptive thought. Everything is always operating under the structure and system of divine principle. Every single quality of God is connected in an infinite network with all other qualities. The redwood sequoia trees are a symbol of the network of the goodness of God, for their roots bond together and become very strong to resist destruction. Life is living the qualities, the good, living the good that has been unfolded to us through the creative enlightenment and the other qualities of mind that have been mentioned. life multiplies the good that we're doing as it is reflected out into the universe of spirit. Truth assures us that it is a direct connection with God, the only path that is real. And if we keep on that straight and narrow path with the pure motive and let God be our consciousness, then we are conscious of everything that is perfect and pure and true. And if we're conscious of everything, then we are at the step of love, which is fulfillment. Nothing can prevent fulfillment and wholeness from being realized if we let the experience of all of these qualities of God be named by us, claimed by us, and demonstrated. A talent is lost unless it is used. We can't just study and get this enlightenment and then be passive. We have to be living the enlightenment. We have to be living what is revealed to us. Love is a mother characteristic. Mothering, nurturing. It's like caring for a plant in a garden. It must be nurtured. The plan and design of love permeates all the other qualities. That includes the lubricant, the oil of gladness, the gratitude. Nothing can overcome the power of love. That is mind interacting with love, because mind is power. Spirit interacting with love, it's flawless. If love is pure, then it's the true love. It's the spiritual love. It's the love of God being manifested. The only real love there is. Man will experience perfection. And man is stated as being generic. God is all. There is nothing but God. So every quality that might be, tend to be attributed to a male, such as strength, courage, those kinds of things, or to a female of love and tenderness and kindness, forgiveness, many, many names represent the female qualities, and same with the male qualities. But that's only a limited concept, because the real man is both male and female, because it's generic. It is not much of a man if he doesn't also display the qualities of woman. What kind of a man that lacks caring for others and being considerate and kind and tender? A gentleman is more of a man than a man that is not gentle. Any quality that one expresses that is a quality of God, the more the better, the more complete. That's the ultimate, is to be complete, to be whole. And that can only happen if we are cultivating all the qualities that exist. Every single quality. They're infinite in number because God is infinite. Just like the astronomers learn about new universes, well, we have an ever-expanding opportunity to see more of the goodness of God every moment. Mary Baker Eddy has defined God by the seven synonymous terms that have been noted several times in this recording. Mathematics defines its elements, the basic numbers of 0 to 9, 10 digits. And mathematics has operators, the basic ones being add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The system of divine metaphysics has 4 operators also, and they are defined as the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. It was mentioned about one of the steps is to name. Well, the names of God are the Word. Christ is the second operator, and it means to translate. So one needs to be sure that they are not letting any element of material sense or mortal mind enter into the vision. So just as Jesus saw the perfect man, when one translates what they believe is to be the Word of God or the facts about God, they have to make sure that they are seeing the flawless spiritual nature only and not letting anything creep in to try to blemish the purity of spirit. The third operator is Christianity. And Christianity equates to what that third step was, which is demonstrating. So the second step was claiming it. That's what we have to do with the interpretation, the translation. We have to claim the truth. We have to claim the fact. And the finale in the operators is science. Science means we have proven it to be true. And that means that we have accepted the facts about God. We have translated to make sure that we're looking only at the purity. And we prove it by exercising the qualities of God in consciousness. And once we've demonstrated it, then we are being at one with it. And that's what science is, being at one with the purity and the perfection of God. God is all in all. All source, which includes its manifestation. That includes every individual. There is nothing but God. Amen.